Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law. Call in now with your tax questions at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
And in for a soon-to-be dad, Andrew Foster here today, Sam Morris. Hi, Sam.
Hey, Ben. How are you doing? Good morning.
Doing well. Good to have you in for Andrew here today.
Oh, yeah. It's a pleasure. I remember we had our first, my wife and I had our first son this past June, and I remember all the fun, the drama, the stress that goes into that.
And lack of sleep.
And lack of sleep. That's what I told Andrew yesterday. I told Andrew to go out, have a nice dinner the night before, and get some sleep, because that's all about to change, you know, today, hopefully.
That's right. All right. Let's talk about taxes a little bit. But you especially want to concentrate on what happened to us last fall.
Right. Yeah. So the tax man's out today, so we're not going to be talking too much about tax issues, unfortunately. So the tens of Andrew's fans out there who love to talk to the tax issues, you might be a little disappointed. But I wanted to cover something that I'm still seeing a whole lot in the office. You know, it's been about, give or take, 6 months since Florence ripped through here, and the community's still dealing with a lot of those issues. But, you know, unfortunately, hurricane season starts again in about 2 months, you know, give or take. So there are some common issues that I'm still seeing from Hurricane Florence, some projections of what, some concerns that I have that might be going forward this summer for our community, and some tips that I just want to give for everyone well ahead of the next hurricane that might come through here to make sure that some of the problems that I see don't happen again. So the first thing that I'm seeing right now, on a weekly basis at Harvell and Collins, we've got people coming in, and they are still dealing with their insurance company either undervaluing their claim or outright denying certain basis of certain aspects of their claim.
Yeah, you know, kind of one of the things we learned, and this actually was a lesson to the FEMA folks, is that denial does not mean stop.
Exactly. Denial does not mean stop. Denial might mean, hey, we might need to get someone else involved in this, and some of those people to get involved with it could be, you know, a lawyer's office. We've handled a number of these types of claims since Florence came through here, and thankfully we've had a very good success rate with those claims. But the big thing too is the fact that, you know, the adjusters that come out, they try to do a good faith estimate of what the total loss is, but oftentimes it's necessary to get a public adjuster out or another opinion, particularly in today's market where you have such a high demand on the contractors out there. The cost of building, repair, everything has skyrocketed. And these adjustments through the insurance company oftentimes don't factor in any of these types of variables. And so you've got oftentimes homeowners who might be seeing, you know, 25% of the actual value lost in the home. That's what's being offered by the insurance company. And so that's obviously not going to cut it when it comes to getting your house back to the standard that you're used to it being.
Yeah. Yeah. Even though your coverage may call for a certain level of replacement, unless it meets the demand of the current price structure, then it's not going to be that.
Right, yeah.
Unless you fight it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And oftentimes, you know, these types of issues can be resolved without having to go to a full-blown civil litigation context. I mean, there are options for our listeners out there if it has to go to that point and we believe that there might have been some bad faith denial, some unfair and deceptive act by the insurance company to try to deny these things. There are lots of remedies that are available in the courtroom for that. But oftentimes, we're able to resolve these in kind of just a negotiation basis for our clients. And as I said before, we've been pretty successful with that so far, so we're very thankful for that. But the big thing is to make sure that the cost to put the homeowner back into the pre-storm condition is the same thing that's being offered by the insurance company, that we're not having these huge price discrepancies, because the last thing we want to do is have to take out some other sort of loan or financing agreement just to get, or equity line, or whatever it is, just to get the home back to pre-Florence condition.
Right, right.
And so that kind of dovetails into the next issue that I've been seeing, and that is that one concern that I have, particularly for our community, and this is often directed to those people who have these beautiful rental beach homes and whatnot up and down, for example, Atlantic Beach, Emerald Isle, all of these waterfront homes, is that, you know, a lot of these homes are set up in this kind of, you know, investment property context where you have either one owner or multiple owners together as some sort of partnership or LLC, whatever the organization might be. But, you know, to finance this $7,000, $8,000, $9,000 mortgage a month, whatever it might be, the people are relying on this summer rental stream
coming
in. Because, I mean, there's a lot of these houses where $10,000 a week, believe it or not, it's not I mean, it's pretty easy to get in the summertime in June, July, the main months. But this year, what's the problem? Well, number one, you've got a lot of people who have either not even received enough money to get their house put back into the right condition, but they've not been able to line up contractors yet because the demand is so high. And so what that means is that we're 2 months out from June 1st, and a lot of these houses haven't gotten touched yet. But the mortgages are still going to be due.
You bet. Yeah.
And the banks have oftentimes already gone into some sort of forbearance agreement with the homeowner. But they're oftentimes, that's going to be.
What's a forbearance agreement?
So basically it allows, you know, banks sometimes, you know, I don't like to try to characterize them as warm, fuzzy people, but banks will sometimes in the midst of a national emergency relax the mortgage, the payment plan a little bit. You still have to pay back everything.
Yeah.
But if they basically
get a little break.
Exactly. You get a little break. You don't have to make your payment in January, but you might have to make it that payment plus your next payment in February. It depends upon the forbearance agreement for the mortgage. But in almost all these contexts, you'll have, you know, the homeowners, they might have just a mortgage. Mm-hmm. They might have a second equity line of credit on the home or whatever. And these payments are going to become due. But this income stream that they rely on each year is not going to be there. And so, you know, one concern that I have is that, number one, we could see an increase in the foreclosure arena around here, not because of a market condition, but because of just the pure fact of we're still dealing with the storm.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, thankfully last year the storm came after the rental season, but this year we're not recovered yet.
Yeah.
And so for a lot of those homeowners, it's very important to go back and look at your insurance agreement and see whether it provides for coverage, for example, loss of rental income, because a lot of these insurance policies do.
Mm-hmm.
Loss of use payment. There are other options that there might be out there for these homeowners to be able to recoup or capture that lost income stream so that they don't go into something like default on their mortgage note. And that's something that a lawyer who deals in these types of areas should be able to do. Sit down, look at the mortgage agreement, look at the insurance paperwork, and be able to tell the homeowner, hey, look, we can probably work something out with the bank here. We've got this insurance payment that might come in through the loss of use or the loss of rental income. It can probably make up for this difference, and I think there might be a way out of this kind of complicated mess that they might be in. So that's something to definitely be looking into.
Okay. Those are very, very important topics. One, we all want to see them recover, and those folks, because that's the lifeblood of our areas.
Yeah.
It's tourism that comes in.
So. Yeah, and tourists need places to stay.
Yeah. And you've already seen a lot of the hotel rooms are gone.
Absolutely.
Are not going to be open yet.
Absolutely.
May not be open until midsummer, or if they're even open at all.
Yeah, I've heard varying reports from people in the real estate business over the availability for places in the summer, but I've heard numbers down as low as, you know, 30% rate. You know, we're operating at 30% of what we would be in a normal year when it comes to rental property.
Yeah.
And that's a big hit on an economy that's, you know, as dependent upon tourism as ours is. So the big thing is to make sure that you don't add insult to injury, and then you have home values going down because they're going through foreclosure sales and stuff like that.
Well, what about hardening targets for this coming season?
Right. So the big thing I want to warn everyone about is that, number one, do not hire, you know, somebody who's from out of state that comes in right after the hurricane to do mitigation or contracting work that has been in business for a month give them a bunch of money right offhand. Do not do that. I'm not saying that there are not good contractors from out of state, but I have seen a ton of issues from Florence where you have an out-of-state contractor come in, take a bunch of money from a local resident, disappear, and now
once they're all over the state line, it's hard
to find them. I mean, you know, for example, we at Harvell and Collins, we do everything we can, but, you know, we're not the United States Department of Justice. It's hard to get a hold of these people and, you know, make service on them or you know, bring them into the power of the North Carolina court system. Once we've got that, it's, you know, it's oftentimes these types of claims don't go very well for the other side, but that initial grabbing them and getting them subject to our state jurisdiction can be difficult. So one of the big things with that is hire local people. There are plenty of good contractors, and I would tell you that if it's a month out, you know, sometimes the mitigation efforts are hard to let it wait and sit there, but the headache that comes from hiring a lot of these out-of-state people that will just disappear is something to really avoid. It's just not worth it. The other thing, too, is that, you know, we have a lot of great local contractors here, But I've seen a lot of issues when it comes to roofing, oftentimes not done by our local people, but a lot of times done by these companies that are out of state.
Right.
They come in and they're not familiar with our codes, or they're not familiar with, for example, the types of shingles that we use, like the CertainTeed type shingles, the nice higher quality mm-hmm. shingles around here that are better for the wind resistance. And they use, for example, they might use a different nail pattern mm-hmm. than what the shingle recommendations call for on the packaging. Well, what's the problem with that? You voided your warranty, your lifetime mm-hmm. warranty, if you do that in most situations.
Yeah.
So a lot of the value that you've paid for in buying, for example, upgraded shingles, maybe upgraded siding, stuff that's going to be more storm resistant, has just gone out the window mm-hmm. because of these people who just either, one, don't know how to do the job correctly, or aren't familiar with our area or whatever.
How about home inspections for those people who had maybe either minor damage or no damage at all? I mean, as they go into the storm season, just to try and see where am I looking? What am I looking at?
It is good to go ahead and get that stuff, you know, put down where you are. Because, for example, what I don't want to see happen is another Florence come through here, mm-hmm. and then a lot of people then make valid insurance claims, and then their insurance policy says, wait, no, this was a claim that you should have brought through Florence. You know, what's the proof that it happened this time, not last
yeah,
time?
Right.
And so, I mean, that doesn't necessarily pose a big problem, but it's just an additional headache that you probably shouldn't have to deal with.
Okay.
So, you know, hopefully, you know, as everybody hopes, this storm season will be non-existent.
Yeah.
You won't have anything like that. But those are some, you know.
But a pre-storm inspection.
A pre-storm season inspection,
you've got something in paper that says, here's his status.
Absolutely. It cannot hurt.
Okay.
It cannot hurt.
Thanks so much. And again, we look forward to Andrew and welcoming in a new child as well, too. And we'll congratulate him next time we see him. And I hope you will, too, Sam.
Absolutely. We will. Thank you so much, Ben.
All right. Sam Morris joining us from Harbell & Collins. You can go online at harbellandcollins.com.